This is Teen Quest Live, where we create conversations about youth culture, parenting, and issues facing teenagers in today's world. Here's our host, Mark Witt.
With all the chaos going on in America, we need a great spiritual awakening where people will turn from their sins and trust in the power of God. Is America ready for another great awakening? In the book of Jonah, God told this prophet to go and preach to this wicked city of Nineveh. Jonah eventually preached to the people of this city, but lots of drama took place, as recorded in the great Old Testament book. Today I'm going to share the lessons I've learned from the book of Jonah, the Nineveh Awakening, on this edition of Teen Quest Live. Teen Quest is a youth mission located in western Pennsylvania in the beautiful Laurel Highlands near Seven Springs Ski Resort. The Teen Quest Ranch hosts camps and events throughout the year. Fall and spring camps to snow camps and summer camps. We have events for all ages at the Teen Quest Ranch. Hey, go to our website for more information, teenquest.org. That's teenquest.org, or call us at 1-800-288-TEEN or 1-800-288-8336. By the way, why not help us continue to reach kids for Christ by going to our website and donating? teenquest.org/donate. We thank you today for your prayers and your support. History reveals there were several great awakenings in America during the last several centuries. The Bible scholars say the book of Jonah reveals the greatest spiritual awakening found in the Bible. What's the meaning of a great awakening? It's not a mystic experience, not centered around emotion, not a passing fad, but a period of time characterized by large-scale, widespread revival and the supernatural moving of the Spirit of God in such a way that produces an intense hunger for Christ and the church. Well, why was Jonah so important in this scripture? Because Jesus only mentions four prophets, Isaiah, Daniel, Zechariah, and Jonah. And the whole book of Jonah is dedicated to this guy. Jonah was mentioned in more detail by Jesus, and I'll explain that later, and this is why it's so important. Now, we look at the book of Jonah is divided into four chapters. Chapter 1 is the call of God on Jonah. He was a Jewish prophet. God says, go evangelize Nineveh, this wicked capital city of Assyria. Well, how big was this capital, this empire, this Assyrian empire? Well, Nineveh was a non-Jewish capital of this empire, dominated in the Middle East to include Iraq, Syria, Jordan, and Lebanon. It surrounds Israel between the 9th and the 7th century BC. God said to Jonah, go preach against the city. The word of the Lord came to Jonah saying to preach against the city of Nineveh because of its wickedness. Jonah 1, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Now, how do we hear God today? Jonah heard the word of God. We hear the word of the Lord today as well. The Bible. In fact, the Word of God, the Bible, does the work of God. You see, God does not tolerate wickedness. As we read the Word of God, we see that God will not tolerate wickedness, even in America. Here's some headlines I read not too long ago. Satanist group offers online clinic to help women with satanic abortion ritual. California mom sues school district for secretly transitioning her fifth grade daughter under parental secrecy policy. A green light for polygamy, New York judge rules the time has arrived. Folks, this is wickedness in America, and God will not tolerate wickedness. The moment God spoke to Jonah, said, go preach against the wickedness of Nineveh, what did Jonah do? The Bible says in Jonah chapter 1, verse 3, he ran from the Lord, headed for Tarshish, went down to Joppa, found a ship bound for the port, paid his fare, went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. He's on a boat and trying to hide from God. We can't hide from God. Jonah couldn't hide from God. God sees everything that we do. He knows what we do. And it's sad that he ran from the Lord. Well, also, Jonah disobeyed the Lord. And because he disobeyed the Lord, he caused trouble around everyone around him. When we disobey God and we sin, it affects everybody around us. And then when he was on the boat, the men realized, we're in trouble. There's something wrong with this boat. Something's wrong. We're going to die on this boat. The Bible says that, what should we do to you? Make the sea calm down for us, they said. Jonah said, pick me up and throw me into the sea, he replied, and it'll become calm. I know that it's my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Here these men were afraid of the storm, and they realized they had to throw him over into the sea, but they didn't want to do it. But they did it. And it's interesting also, in Jonah chapter 1, verse 16, at this the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Even though they didn't follow the Lord, they realized who the living God was because of Jonah. Now, God got Jonah's attention. What happened? He was thrown into the sea and swallowed by a big fish. By the way, it's not necessarily a whale that swallowed him. It was a big fish, the Bible says. And in that fish, God got Jonah's attention. And as we read in Jonah chapter 2, verse 1, and from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. And in Jonah chapter 2, verse 2 through 9, he made this tremendous prayer of repentance. Lord, I am sorry. I disobeyed you. God, I'm going to turn around. I'm going to do what's right. And then what did God do? The Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Well, see, this story of Jonah was so important that Jesus spoke of Jonah in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40 through 41. Jesus said, for just as Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus talked about Jonah. Jonah was definitely a true story as an example of a man who ran from God and repented. Well, as we see, God is the God of second chances. In Jonah chapter 3, verse 1, when the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, go to the great city and proclaim it, the message I gave you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very important city. It took 3 days to get around it. But on the first day that Jonah got there, he started into the city. He proclaimed 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. He told them what's going to happen if they don't repent of their sin. What happened? In Jonah chapter 3, verse 5, the Ninevites believed God and declared a fast. And they began to worship the Lord and repent of their wicked sin. Even the king in this chapter made a decree for everyone to fast and dedicate themselves to the Lord. And that whole city turned around. It was one of the greatest awakenings experienced in the Bible. This wicked city turned to repentance because Jonah obeyed the Lord. Well, you see, Jonah chapter 3, verse 10, when God said they did not know from turn from their evil ways, they had compassion and did not bring upon the destruction of that he had threatened. In other words, God changed his mind and did not destroy the city because they repented. He did not do it. It's interesting, as we go back to the early part of this country, the early colonists came to the New World to enjoy religious freedom, but when they became prosperous, they no longer relied on God for their daily needs. In the first part of this country, church membership dropped, so church leaders adopted the halfway covenant, allowing church members without public testimony or of conversion. The churches were being filled with people who did not have a personal relationship with Jesus, including many clergy. Suddenly, in 1740, the Spirit of God awoke the masses and touched the poor farmers and the rich merchants in the colonies in parts of America. The Great Awakening began with Pastor Theodore of the Dutch Reformed Church in New Jersey. Young people responded to his message first, and revival broke out. In 1727, a young man by the name of Jonathan Edwards went to Northampton, Massachusetts to become assistant minister to his grandfather's church. When his grandfather passed, Edwards became the minister of the church. Later, Edwards delivered the most famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, on July 8, 1741. Then we hear of another guy, George Whitfield, an Anglican evangelist and friend of John and Charles Wesley, founders of the Methodist Church, not only traveled throughout Britain bringing the gospel of Christ, but he also made 7 trips to America between 1738 and 1770. Whitfield would spend hours upon hours in prayer for a spiritual awakening in America. He was probably the most well-traveled man in the colonies and drew large crowds wherever he spoke. Some of the clergy didn't want him around. They didn't like his new style. But his crowds were actually too large to even have meetings in the churches. Can you imagine the influence this man had as he preached the word of God, just like Jonah preached to Nineveh? Even Ben Franklin was impressed with Whitfield's ability to speak, and he was influenced by this great man of God. Well, the Great Awakening in America had lasted results as the churches multiplied. Christians came together from all denominations. Churches had a renewed interest in missions, and work among the Indians increased. Young people joined the ranks in becoming ministers, and listen to this, Princeton, Rutgers, Brown, and Dartmouth universities were established as a result of the Great Awakening. These great universities were started by believers to propagate the gospel and to educate people. America had a new craving for the things of God because of this Great Awakening. My friend, we need another Great Awakening in America. We desperately do. And if we've got to pray for God to see this happen in America. Just like Nineveh was that wicked city, we're seeing America with much, much wickedness. Have you heard what's happening across America today? Well, here's some headlines. Religious revival meeting at Asbury University going strong after more than a week. This is happening February 2023, Washington Times. The longest church service as Arab Asbury since 1970 has been happening nonstop since Wednesday, February 8th, WKYT-TV. Asbury Awakening spreads to Lee University. A mighty move of God started this morning, CBN News. A nonstop Kentucky prayer revival is going viral on TikTok, and people are traveling thousands of miles to take part. The gathering has been going on for 24 hours a day at the small Christian college. Can you believe that? These are headlines. We're seeing maybe some things happening. Maybe there's going to be a great awakening. I close with this, my friend. The American educator A.E. Winthrop traced the descendants of two men who lived in the 18th century. One was Jonathan Edwards, the great Puritan preacher. The other was Max Jukes, a godless man and contemporary of Jonathan Edwards. Max Jukes had 1,000 descendants, 300 died prematurely, 7 were murderers, 60 thieves, 190 prostitutes, 310 paupers, 100 were sent to prison, and 440 were known drunks. Compared to the family tree of Jonathan Edwards, of his 729 descendants, 300 were preachers, 65 were college professors, one was an author, 3 were congressmen, and 1 was vice president of the United States. For better or for worse, your faith, or lack thereof, will be multiplied and amplified through the generations that follow you. My friend, we can see a spiritual awakening. If we could raise up young men and women to a great revival, we'll see generations upon generations of great things happening. My friend, if we can be of help to you here at Teen Quest, give us a call at 1-800-288-8336. This is Mark Whitford, Teen Quest. Have a great day.